Okay, good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. We have with us a panel here of people who are known to be working with their team. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to ask them a few questions around why and how to work with your team. So what I'd like to do, first of all, is ask each of the three of them to introduce themselves. I'll start first because I'm also on the panel. I'm Mark Hazel and I'm from Grahamstown. I'm part-time in this business.
Hi, I'm Karen. I'm from Bedford. I'm also part-time in this business, and my other career is that I work with children. I'm a movement specialist.
My name is Pierre van Rensburg. I'm from Centurion, Gauteng. I'm part-time in this business. My day work is working for an IT company, and my after-hour work is doing this business full-time.
My name is Adelina Machado. I come from Mozambique. I do the business part-time. I want to be full-time, but now it's part-time, and I'm teaching.
Fantastic. Just keep it there, Adelina. In our business, we only progress when we have a team. So it is important for us to know how to help them. To achieve and succeed, our panel is going to share with us some thoughts on how and why you need to work with your team. So my first question that I'm going to ask is, Charlie and Alta have always said, train, equip, and let go. Would any of you like to just make a comment on that one, why you believe that's important?
First of all, we need to understand why we need to work with our teams. And I always have in the back of my mind what Zig Ziglar said, that you can have everything in life, but only after you helped enough other people to get what they want. And that's the whole premise of this type of business as well. On the train, when your person starts in this business, he knows nothing. Yes, you do get people, they think they know more than you do, but actually they know nothing. And training is there to teach that person what you know. And through that, you need to equip him so that he can teach other people. But I think, and I've made this mistake a couple of times in my business, and I'm sure I'm going to make it a few more times because I need to learn this lesson, is that you get so involved in that person, you so want to help that person to succeed, that you sometimes forget to let go. And you make that person so interdependent on you, or dependent on you, actually. And then it becomes very hard to break that umbilical cord, and it becomes very traumatic. So you need to have a fine balance in training and let going. Train enough, not too much. Let go, not too soon. And that is, I think, but it comes with experience, and every person is different. You know, some people you find, you can train them, and within 4 to 5 months, you know, they are really rocking on their own. You just need to guide them, and every now and again, just give them a smack behind the ear in the right direction. But, you know, they're there. Some others, you have to spend a little bit more time on the training and equipping.
Thank you, Pierre. Anybody like to add anything? Karen?
I think when you're showing the business plan, you're talking a lot about dreams. And so it is your job. The training is so important because if someone has decided to get on board, they are not working for you. They are working for their dreams. And if you don't help them get there, then you've offered them something that you're not going to help them get to, you know. So you've actually taken their dream away. So don't offer someone something. Don't offer someone your commitment and then not do anything about it. And that's also with the training. That's with the, you know, equipping. You know, that can take as long or as short a time as the person you're working with. As Pierre said, it's different from person to person. But I would also say that we've made the mistake of not letting go soon enough. And then you land up with a couple of wheelbarrows, which means the ones that only move when you push them. And you want people to be going on their own. So as much training and as much equipping as you can in a short period of time, and then remember to let go.
Something that I've had to learn too is that I tended to want to keep everything to myself. And one of the challenges that one has in the business is that, you know, when you're working with your own family, is that sometimes you engage a lot more around things that should happen. And I'm very grateful to have a senior manager in the business in the form of a daughter. And we got into this situation where I thought, well, the people don't know how to do this. And I was challenged on that. And so this year we've made a change, and we're now letting people do things that are not as good as maybe other people are. And it's exciting to see the growth that is happening in giving people the opportunity to prepare and start to do a session, and how they're becoming far more confident. In fact, one of Karen's downline, who's in our training group, is growing incredibly because she's been given the opportunity to do things that she wouldn't have been able to give the opportunity to have been given to her on another occasion. So thank you for that. One question that I want to ask too is, you know, sometimes you have groups and sometimes you have individuals, and different people are different and different groups are different. Do you do different things with different groups of people? Maybe people who are starting, people a little bit further in the business, and in different environments, do you have different approaches that you use?
Yes, the specific needs of the downlines are different. So we organize training for different groups. We have the normal training that is for everybody, and then we have leaders training and directors training. So we divide like that because the needs are different in the group.
We have regular training. In our case, it's every second Monday because of circumstances. Unfortunately, I would have loved to have it every week, but it doesn't work out that way. So we have, but it's fixed. It's every second Monday evening we have training. And there's a certain group that always get there. But then we have groups very far from us. And on a Monday evening, it's very difficult for them to come to us for training. So we basically, in an area where there's enough other people, we actually start training groups there, and we try to fit them into a time that suits them the best. And usually when we go to that groups, we try to combine a training and a presentation at the same time, just to help them, teach them, and take them from there. But within the training, we have a fixed program that we follow over a case of about 12 to 14 trainings that takes us through all the products, all the business concepts, all the basic things you need to do. And we also press it on the heart of those attendees that the next level of training, like Hansi explained in a previous session, the rallies and those are the next level of information, the next level of detail. So we try not to go into too much detail in our basic training groups every second Monday, so that new people coming in don't feel lost. We cycle quickly enough so that all the new people can go through the training.
We were finding that our meetings were stretching quite long, because once you get chatting, you know how it goes, it just snowballs. And for a guest, that can be quite overwhelming because you're talking about things they don't know anything about yet. So what we started doing was trying to organize it that guests would arrive 20 minutes before the start of the meeting for everyone else. So if you have a guest, you bring them along early, you show the plan, they've seen the plan, and then if they would like to sit in for more training, they can. But if not, then we move on with whoever's newest in the group. We do the level that they're at. And then the rest of us, we get together when we can in terms of being leaders.
In our own situation, on a weekly basis, on a Monday evening, we follow the Eagle Team training manual, and we work through the programs in that, as well as the products. But then we also have a regular sizzle session on a specific day during the week, when people can come together and we can either invite guests or show the plan or let them have an opportunity to show the plan themselves. When I travel to other parts of the country or, you know, other parts of Africa, very often we have a composite program. So we run through a whole series of things because we're not working with those people on a regular basis. Then the other thing, like Adelina says, we also have a leadership program where we're studying some of the books from the Eagle Team system, and we believe that's important because you're now equipping those leaders with the habits that come out of personal growth, the studying of the books, and those kind of things as well. And we find that's an encouragement because people like to work towards something that they can be recognized. We do it with a meal, and then we have some time to chat as well. Maybe I'd like to ask another question. What do you do when you're working with away team? Do you have any specific programs that you run when you work with away teams? Specific things that you do differently to the team at home?
Yeah, that is a challenge because you don't see them regularly, but you also want to train and equip them as much as possible. What I do is I just make a note of what I've done with that group, that area, or those people, so that the next time I go there that I can just go on where I've left them off. But also what I do is I use the tools. You know, we've got enough slaves in this business in the form of DVDs and CDs. So if you can't work with a away team, leave them with CDs and DVDs that they can work with and utilize themselves. Otherwise, they become so dependent on you and they wait 2-3 months for you to come again. By that time, the business is dead in any case again. So use the technology.
One of the things that I find works too is to get around the people and to rekindle their dream. Because when, like we heard earlier on, when the dream is big enough, the facts don't count. So if you can get their dream going, and then very often I'll encourage them to say, do you know anybody that you haven't yet prospected that we can maybe show you how to make that call? Because very often people have got into a lethargy about inviting. And so by showing them that they can do it, it again is one of those things that will encourage them to get up and get going. Do you believe it's important for your team to see you on a regular basis? Again, the people that are not in your home base. And if so, why?
I feel it's very important. You are the leader of the team, and they expect from you always something new. If you are not there, my experience is they get a bit dependent. They don't even organize the meetings that they are supposed to do. I try to enforce that they should organize the meetings, even if the leader is not there. But what I see, it's when I say I'm coming, it's when more people come. And it's so important for the team to see the leader there.
If you're going to ask anyone to do anything, you can't ask them to do something you're not doing. So if you're saying to them that you need to start leading your group, how can you ask them to do that if you aren't going and seeing them every now and again? I think that everything you do needs to be duplicatable. So, you need your group to be able to do exactly what you're doing. And it doesn't mean that you have to be there every week. Whenever you are there, it's a privilege to be around your people. And it should be the vice versa.
Besides going to see your team, what other means do you use to keep contact with your team and to keep them in the fire, as it were?
I think for us young people, younger people, or techno-savvy, that'll work. we're very blessed in that we do have quite a lot of forms of free communication these days with your WhatsApp and your Blackberries and your Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So you can do a lot of work online and just by being on your phone. I know all of us keep groups on our, we have group chats. Basically, if someone's got a question, they can post it there and someone will answer it for them. If there's an event coming up, we obviously basically do it as an advertising board and we try and encourage everyone to go along to that kind of thing. There are certain people that if you do have a set meeting, it's just not possible for them at any time to make the meeting. As long as you're sharing the information that was at the meeting, then they're not going to lose out too badly.
Because I do those things as well. I'm just battling with the tweet and the chirps and those kind of stuff at this moment, but the rest of the stuff I use. No, seriously, when your business becomes quite large and you have a lot of people, in the past I made a note that all my people who are serious in the business, I try to contact them physically once a week. And the people that's not that serious every 2 weeks and the guys that just tag along, every month. But when your business becomes big and you've got hundreds of people, it becomes quite difficult, number one. And number two, sometimes expensive. So what I do is I use technology. I use email a lot because I'm stuck behind the computer most of my day. And I've got different groups. I've got a builder group and a customer group and a wheelbarrow group. Really, I do have. And then I also have different groups for different towns. So as I get information regarding potential presentations or events, I just post that event for that group and that event for that group. Every Monday morning, my whole team, everybody on email, gets my availability for the next 3 weeks where they can book slots with me to utilize me and use me, where abuse me or misuse me, whatever you want to call it, where they can use me for presentations or counseling or one-on-ones or whatever it is. I provide information on a weekly basis of all the events that I know of. And then I use WhatsApp. I also have SMS groups, different areas, different levels that I also post information to. So, yeah, I try to use Skype. I try to use I'm building a faraway leg from me now with Skype, and it works well. I think it's horses for courses. You need to decide. I do find, however, that a physical telephone call or a physical face-to-face is actually 100 times more valuable as just electronic message. But where you can't do that, I resort to the technology.
Unfortunately, I have not gone to the technology. But I do send emails, WhatsApp and the other things I don't use, and SMSs. What we do in the team is it's important to make the leaders responsible. So I send to the directors, and the directors have the responsibility to send to their team and pass on, and not for me to send to everybody. Of course, sometimes you see that some teams are not informed, and then you have to come back and send to everybody. But we try to have the groups working together.
Like Pierre said, I found also that there are definitely different courses for different horses. And so we have some people on a WhatsApp group as well, but we also use the Facebook groups, and we have some different groups that we use so that at different levels of interest, different people want to get involved. And we have an online information center where we can post information that the team can get access to. So we'll send out an email that says this is available, and you can go to the online info center and you can download it if you want to. So you know, for folk who are working off their cell phones, they don't have to download everything that gets sent to them. So it means it makes it more economical for them as well to be able to get hold of those bits of information that might help them to build their business. We're coming to the wrap-up point, but I'd like to ask one or two questions if we can in the few minutes that we've got left. On the job training, we talk about OJT, on the job training. Are there some specific things that you do in terms of on the job training with your teams that help specifically to help new people get started, but maybe also to help people take a step?
The first thing I do with my team members is to invite together. Every downline in the beginning, instead of inviting alone, because what I feel, people have the fear of starting. Sometimes they want to invite people, but they have that fear. So I try as soon as possible to sit down, have the list of names, and invite together. The other thing that we do a lot is they call the sizzle sessions, but we don't call like that. We say women like a tea. So we invite the friends and we take a tea together. It's when we teach our team to present the business to other people. To make sure that everyone will participate, we take turns. Instead of everybody presenting everything, one presents one thing, another one presents. Maybe it does not feel well to do everything, but if it starts only talking about the company or about the products or about the marketing plan, they feel more confident to do alone after a time.
Yeah, on the job training is important, and in my team what we do is exactly what Adelina says. When a new person starts, we make an appointment and we phone people for that person first of all, then later with that person in order to set up meetings. You do the one-on-one a couple of times with the person, and then you start bringing in that person. You know, he does part of the presentation, you do part of the presentation, you start to wean him off until such time that he can do it by himself. Sometimes you just throw him in the deep end, you know, but you need to check your downline. And then also in our trainings. The training is in my home, but I try to be involved as little as possible, and all those sessions need to be people, brand new, old or whatever, that need to pitch in and assist with the sessions. And that's the only way you can get your people trained and equipped and have them let go.
One of the things that I found has worked for, in fact, two things that I found that's worked for us along the same sort of line, is often I will take a downline that I'm working with to go and see somebody else or at a sizzle session, and it's non-threatening because it's not their guest. And if I know that they've been working in an area, I'll ask them to add value into the session. So either they'll show the plan or they'll tell an experience about what's happened for them with overcoming their fear or inviting and things like that. And in that way, they build up their confidence so that they can go out and do it on their own. And it's been quite exciting to see how some people have just, you know, decided, okay, I can do this on my own. I can remember a case down in Megan's one leg. I was away. I think I was up in central part of Africa. And this guy said, Mark's not here. There's no more sizzle sessions. I'm going to have to do the sizzles myself. And as a result of that, he got into doing it, and the team started to grow because he now took ownership because he'd been in that environment where he could see that he could do it on his own. We've got a minute and a quarter. Just very quickly, one tip that you would say to people that you might want to share about working with your team, very briefly.
I think working with your team on a daily basis doesn't need to take a whole lot of time. So if you can find just a little bit of time in your busy day, aside from meetings and one-on-ones and things like that, just to pop in and say hi and that I do still care about you. And, you know, for example, today I've just sent them a photo of a couple of people on stage. And, you know, you get comments from people and that's not going to take you a lot of time. And just touching base like that just reminds people that you're there for them and that everything you are doing is to help them.
Something I find very important is to help people to have their dreams and their goals all the time, very fresh. And people like incentives. Something we work on it is incentives for every small thing. Just a certificate, something small, is something that people really fight to reach the goals they have. So that is one.
From my side, all I can say is believe in your people more than they believe in themselves. When people start and they're fresh, people start for different reasons, but you need to show that people that you believe in them more than they believe in themselves. You need to build their self-esteem, get their self-worth up, get their believability in themselves up, and you can only do that by loving that people, really love them, not make-believe love, real love.
I would just like to echo that, what Pierre said. I think that when people know that you care, they feel comfortable around that. And even when they're not doing anything, if you start caring for them when they're going through challenges in the beginning, it might be a personal challenge, it might be a business challenge, but if you believe that they can do it and they see that you care during that time of establishment in the business, they will be far more ready to want to get going. So let's give our panel a hand and thank them very much for sharing this afternoon with